The Fed slashed interest rates yesterday. The benchmark interest rate is now at a record low, fluctuating between 0.25% and zero. That's the rate that banks charge each other to borrow money, and the Fed's move was designed to help thaw the credit freeze and get the economy moving again. But it also affects the rest of us, whether we're trying to get loans for business or to buy a house or a car. It affects the interest on our savings accounts and shifts incentives on what we do with our money. Yesterday, the stock market responded to the move with an enthusiastic rally, and in the Los Angeles Times today, financial writer Tom Petruno called it shock and awe. If you have questions about how this might affect you, if it has already, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Tom Petruno's piece today is titled How the Fed's Shock and Awe Move Could Affect You, and he joins us today by phone from the Los Angeles Times. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
And why do you call this a shock and awe?
Well, they really pulled out all the stops here. Some people argue that there wasn't much new in what they not much new in terms of what people expected them to do, but really the market was looking for them to cut their rate from 1% to a half. Instead, they basically said, no, it can go all the way to zero at this point. And then the other thing they're focusing on, and they emphasized in their statement, is what they can do now that they really can't cut rates anymore. If rates are already at zero on the short end, what else can they do? Well, they can move into the market because they can basically create unlimited amounts of money with which to buy mortgage-backed securities, for example, in an attempt to drive down mortgage rates. So they already signaled in late November that they would begin to do that. They emphasized yesterday in their statement that they would continue this what's called quantitative easing of monetary policy, which isn't trying with interest rates, but rather trying other steps, including, like I said, buying mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
They said they might buy Treasury securities if they want to try to pull down interest rates there, although those rates have already fallen dramatically.
And a lot of us might understand what quantitative easing might mean, but we can get the message that they're going to do whatever it takes to get credit flowing again.
That's correct. I mean, what one money manager said to me is, look, they're trying to show the market that despite the real fears out there that we could be headed for Great Depression too, they are not going to let that happen. And their statement was very constructive in that way. We are going to do everything we can, and more importantly, we're not out of bullets. There's a lot yet that we can do and will do to make sure that the economy doesn't fall into something akin to a depression.
One effect that you did note, however, is that for people who have their money in savings accounts, is something we're all told we should do, this is not good news.
No. Well, that's the sad thing about this, of course, is, right, we're trying to tell Americans you didn't save enough money for the last 20 years, now start saving money. And then they go to the bank and they can earn, 2% or 1.5%, depending on how short term they want to stay. Money market mutual fund yields are now below 1% on average. So the savers are left holding the bag, unfortunately. Right. They're going to pay. And a large part of what the Fed is doing is, as we all know, banks have been horribly wounded, those that are still standing, by mortgage losses and other credit losses, and there's more to come there, for example, on commercial real estate loans next year. What the Fed is trying to do is cut banks' funding costs, for example, the cost of deposits, get them to lend at, of course, higher rates, and that's how you reliquify the banks, make them profitable again, and hopefully get the economy off to a better start at some point in 2009. So, right, the savers are left holding the bag. You're told to save money, but you're not earning any return. The only silver lining here is that with inflation dropping as fast as it is, at least your real return after inflation is actually better than it would have been, say, 6 months ago when oil and other prices were soaring.
And yesterday, the other incentive that shifts is, of course, you might say, well, since I'm not going to make anything on those savings deposits, maybe this is a good time to put money into the stock market.
Yes, that's clearly a Fed goal here. What's happened in this economy is people have run away from risk. Nobody wants to take risks. Well, if nobody takes risks, you don't have much of an economy. So clearly one of the things they're trying to do is say, look, if you want to stay in cash and short-term accounts, great, but you're going to earn next to nothing on those. And in fact, on very short-term Treasury bills, you are earning virtually zero. So what they're trying to say is if you want to earn any money on your capital, Mr. and Mrs. Investor and corporations and venture capitalists, et cetera, you've got to take more risk. You've got to put money into the stock market. You've got to start buying corporate bonds as opposed to just hiding in treasuries. They're definitely trying to force people out there. Now, you can make the argument that people who have been sitting in cash this year made the right decision, because virtually everyone else has lost incredible amounts of money, except those in treasuries. So, you know, yes, they want you to take more risk, but a lot of people obviously don't want to take risk. And if you stay in those short-term accounts, you're going to earn very little or nothing.
We're talking with Tom Petruno, a financial writer for the Los Angeles Times, about the shock and awe move by the Federal Reserve yesterday. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And let's start with Tammy. Tammy's with us from Newark in Delaware.
Hi. I would just like to know if now would be a good time to refinance my house.
I would say you definitely want to start looking at refinancing. I heard some mortgage brokers are quoting rates of under 5% now on 30-year loans. The Fed is trying very hard and has emphasized they really want to try to get mortgage rates down more. One issue, of course, here is banks are not going to give mortgage loans anymore to people with bad credit. So your credit's going to have to be very good. The other issue is that if you're underwater with your mortgage in your house, in other words, you have no equity in your house, you're not going to be able to refinance, obviously. So, but for those who can, you got equity in the house. Let's say you're paying, you've got a mortgage at 6% or 6.5%. Definitely start shopping around now. And one other thing to keep in mind, the mortgage industry has shrunk dramatically in this country, obviously, over the last 2 years. And somebody said to me yesterday, this is not a business that can handle a crush of new refinancing. The sooner you get in the pipeline, I think, the better off you are. And you don't have to necessarily lock in a rate now in case you think rates are going lower. But absolutely, if you have equity in the house and you're paying 6% or more on a mortgage, it is time to start looking at refinancing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It shouldn't behoove me. I was going to wait for them to drop lower, but...
Well, you know what? You can wait. I mean, but at least start shopping around with lenders, see what they can offer you. You don't necessarily need to lock in a rate. We don't know how low mortgage rates can go, but a number of people have been just telling me in the last couple of days, at least, you know, get people into the pipeline. Start asking the questions, shopping around, seeing what lenders can do for you. You don't want to wait, because if we have some massive crush beginning early next year, you may find it tough to even get somebody to answer the phone.
Thank you so much. Thank you again.
Good luck, Tammy.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's see if we can go next to Phil. Phil's with us from Ithaca, New York.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to comment on how bad this Federal Reserve policy is for the value of the dollar. I mean, just over the past couple of days since the announcement, you know, it came out yesterday, and the dollar index has dropped by 6 points since then, and the price of gold has shot up. And, I mean, the policy just penalizes people who want to save money in dollars. And if you look at some of the statements that the Federal Reserve has made and that Bernanke has made over the past several years, it's clear that the way they're fighting deflation is to devalue the dollar and effectively penalize people who save in dollars. And they even have talked in some of their papers about charging negative interest rates, eventually maybe even putting taxes on people who save money in dollars. So I think it's really going to discourage economic growth that would come about through savings and investment, and really just encourage more credit bubbles.
A lower dollar also hurts those who export to other countries, and there may be two or three of those left. Tom Petruno?
Well, there's no question. The dollar is the sacrificial lamb here. And what the Fed has decided is, yes, we know this is likely to hurt the dollar, but they don't care at this point. I mean, that's the bottom line. If you give them the choice of you can have a strong dollar and you can have an economy that instead of contracting at a, you know, pick a number, 5% rate contracts at a 10% rate or something that would just be a total catastrophe. They don't care about the dollar. They're letting it go. He's absolutely right. The dollar has tanked in the last few days. But, you know, there's some irony here. Yes, people are buying the euro, and investors and traders are buying the euro rather than the dollar. Well, it's not as if Europe is in better economic shape. And frankly, they may be in worse shape if their central bank doesn't get on with the mission of cutting interest rates as well. So are we debasing the currency? Yes. But again, a weak dollar is going to help our exporters, and that's a big part of this too, I think. You know, the administration, every administration, you know, from time immemorial professes to want a strong dollar. Well, the manufacturing part of this economy, which is not all that huge, but it's big enough, loves a weak dollar. I mean, it's more opportunities than to sell abroad. So, yes, they're sacrificing the dollar, no question about that. I would also note it's the end of the year. Trading is a little thin. I think some of these currency moves are exaggerated, but the Fed is debasing the currency. The gold bugs are going nuts. Everyone's buying gold here. But, you know, it's rather, interesting to look at this and say, well, buy the euro. Why? Is the European economy in better shape? It's really not. They're going down almost as fast as we are.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's possible that when the economy does come out of recovery that the Fed will mop up after the excess liquidity?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they've tried to stress that yes, we will, their point is, look, yes, we may be creating an inflation problem down the road, right,
mm-hmm.
by debasing the currency, by pumping all this money in the credit system. But you know what? As a central banker, we know what to do about inflation. We can take the money away. We can raise interest rates. We can do whatever we need to do to combat inflation. The problem with deflation, as we saw with the Japanese situation in the 1990s, is deflation becomes very difficult to battle. Once the mentality gets in there that people think, well, why buy something today? It'll only be cheaper tomorrow. That's how economies collapse. So what they're doing is they're throwing the dollar to the wolves and say, we may have an inflation problem down the road, and we'll deal with it then. And the bond market, frankly, believes them. The bond market's not worried about this. And if the stock market was really worried about the U.S. turning into Zimbabwe with inflation, the market wouldn't be, trying to hold up as well as it has since late November. So, yes, indeed, they're pledged, I think, to take away that liquidity when, in fact, the time comes that they have to worry about inflation. But right now, that's a luxury. They're not worried about inflation. They're worried about deflation, that mentality taking hold, and the U.S. repeating the Japanese situation.
Phil, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're talking with Tom Petruno of the Los Angeles Times, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get Bill on the line. Bill with us from St. Joseph's in Missouri.
So, good afternoon.
Hi.
And Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
My question, number one, I tend to think that we are in a deflationary spiral. Personally, I've been talking to my brokers about it for a very long time, and I don't think there's any way we're going to get out of it right away, but that's just my own opinion in the middle of the country. My question is on the spread. What do they mean when they're trying to get the spread down? What are they talking about specifically?
What they're talking about is, for example, right now, call this up on my computer here. High-yield corporate bonds. The average yield on high-yield corporate bonds, junk bonds, in other words, is 17.35%. 17.35%. That's a cost of financing that no company can really afford. When they say they're talking about the spreads, they're trying to bring down yields, rates on corporate bonds, on municipal bonds, et cetera, relative to the yields on Treasury securities, which are, rock bottom here. That's what they're trying to do, because that's the way you get credit back into the economy, is you make it more affordable, or affordable period, for companies to borrow again in municipalities. That's what they're working on. That's why, for example, they're saying, yes, we may, we're buying mortgage-backed securities to try to bring down mortgage spreads. And some people think that before this is over, they will do something to extend financing to the corporate bond market and the municipal bond market, because those yields, as I say, are still really out of whack, seemingly out of whack with where Treasury yields are. Now, you could make the argument that the reason yields are so high is the market says the economy is going to be a disaster next year, bond default rates are going to soar. Certainly they're going to go up, but I have many people have told me in the last couple of weeks on Wall Street that they just think it's ridiculous what has happened to the corporate bond market, and in fact that's where the true bargains are for investors, is not in stocks at this point, but in corporate bonds, because those yields are so rich. Now, again, if you believe in Armageddon next year, if you think there's not going to be anything left of the financial system, and if you do think that we're in a very serious deflation spiral, maybe yields are going to go even higher, because the worst thing to have in a deflationary environment is debt. That's the killer.
And please help me with this. If we're still trying to do supply side economics and think we can pour the water in at the top of the funnel when the blockage is at the bottom of the funnel without clearing the bottom, which is the consumer, which is jobs, how do we continue to figure out how people are going to stimulate when most corporations are going to retrench and protect themselves only? I don't understand this upside-down logic. Why are they trying to prune the tree from the roots?
The Fed is trying to do what it can with monetary policy, and that includes, as we talked about here, this idea of not just cutting interest rates to zero, but going out there potentially buying bonds. the other side of the equation is fiscal stimulus, and that's what Obama has to do and is pledged to do. The federal government is going to have to spend an enormous amount of money to put capital in the economy, to create jobs, essentially, to take the place of the private sector, which is not there, and to try to jumpstart the economy. Will it work? Who knows? But they don't have any choice at this point. I mean, government spending, all governments, federal, state, and local, has in recent years been about 20% of GDP. The forecast I'm seeing is that it's going to have to go to about 25% of GDP over the next year or 2 years, virtually all of that increase being federal spending, just to get the economy back to even, not even to get it growing again, but to stop the contraction. But this is what fiscal policy is all about. This is what governments are supposed to do in these situations, because businesses either don't have the wherewithal, or you're right, they're trying to protect themselves. So it's a natural situation here. Businesses are hunkering down. Consumers are hunkering down. What the government has to do at this point is try to step up, fill in the gap as much as they can, and then just hope that what they can do is bring confidence back. And at some point here, certainly not in the first half of next year, in my opinion, but in the second half of next year, if not, then certainly by 2010, we hope confidence returns. Businesses that survive this will start saying, you know, it's time to make investments again. You're trying to get over the valley here. That's really what this is about. And the government helps you hopefully get over the valley. That's why all this money is being thrown at the system the way it is. That's why Obama's pledging fiscal stimulus. That's all they can do at this point. And people say, well, it's not going to work. Well, maybe not, but would you rather have them just sit there and do nothing? That was Hoover, right, in the early 30s. This is not for the government to do, you know, anything about. We saw where that led. So they're trying what they can, because standing idly by would be a worse catastrophe at this point.
Bill, thanks very much, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, and indeed good luck to us all, including to you, Tom Petrino.
Thank you.
Tom Petrino, financial writer for the Los Angeles Times. Again, his piece today was titled How the Fed's Shock and Awe Move Could Affect You, published, of course, in the Los Angeles Times. Tomorrow, we'll talk about President-elect Barack Obama and the politics of biracial. Join us then. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.